Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Tuesday.
Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Started my day off with a nice massage.
Oh, hey, there you go.
The early morning massage.
You get a lot of massages.
I get at least one a week.
Hey, good for you. You're living that bougie life.
It's not bougie as much bougie, as I need bougie, to be able to keep bougie, moving. Bougie. Yeah. I do a process of massage, chiropractor, and physical therapy all in a row.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Well, with the amount that your body breaks,
yeah,
that makes sense.
This is,
dude,
like routine maintenance. You know what I am doing? I'm doing acupuncture for the first time.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it the old shot.
I did that one time.
I'm open to doing it.
Was not my jam.
Yeah.
Jabbed with needles. People say they love it and
yeah,
they feel almost immediate relief. But
Ruff's just shaking his head violently.
I'm out.
I don't have a thing against needles.
I was
totally open to it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get that relief that people were talking about.
Topically, we'll talk about him here in a minute. Jeremy Grant was the one who recommended acupuncture and dry needling to me. We were talking about it at the end of the season.
Oh.
He had a little bit of a hip stinger that he was dealing with, and him and I have talked about my many surgeries, and he was like, have you ever tried that? He's like, you've tried probably everything, right? And I was like, no, I actually haven't. And he kind of went into like some holistic stuff that he's done, and that is like, I don't know if it's like a placebo effect or if it really works, but he's like, it works for me.
One that's crazy to me is cupping. Where
there's levels to that.
Yeah, like they just bruise you.
Well,
the dry needling sounds like something that happens in the tents down here in downtown Portland.
I mean,
yeah, you're not wrong.
You're
not wrong, buddy. That is watching the Olympics, it is a, boy, you go from happy, lovey Olympic coverage to next on KGW, the fentanyl crisis. Yeah. And you're murder, like, death, whoa! Kill. I was like, God, that escalated quickly. Last night, I'm just watching little Olympics, and then all of a sudden, bam, dude's talking about how much money he spends on fentanyl every week. I was like,
from the gold zone to the crime zone?
Yikes. Yeah. Whoa. How much do you think NBC is spending on their set? Did you see where their set is?
It's right across the street from the Eiffel Tower, isn't it?
Yeah, but what it is it's a restaurant. And so this restaurant is getting rented out in what I would assume would be the busiest time they would ever have, when you have a deck area, outdoor patio, that overlooks the Eiffel Tower in front of the Eiffel Tower.
A little Parisian cafe.
Yeah. And Mike Tirico did like this little like walk around like, hey, this is where we're doing the Olympic, like all of our coverage from. And it's like, they must be like, what are you paying? Because think of it from a restaurant standpoint. You're going, we got travelers from all over the world. They're going to want to see the Eiffel Tower. We could charge whatever the hell we wanted, and we're going to be booked
years in advance,
start to finish. And then NBC comes through and is like, do you think like $1 million or more? $2 million?
I'm sure they probably did some research on what they, on what, you know, what kind of sales and gross figures and whatnot they have. And I'm sure they made them a pretty,
but then
pretty
again,
nice little offer.
Like if you are the, if you're the French restaurant though, you're also, you got to think of this too.
I need my signage up still.
Yeah, right. Well, they did a looky-loo around the whole restaurant.
There we go.
Mike Tirico did like a tour with a camera of the restaurant, and is like, that got to a few million people there.
Yeah.
You know?
A couple.
My dumbass in Oregon was watching it, so I was like, hey, if I ever go, no, I'm going to eat there.
I was working at NBC.
Or will it have the diners, drive-ins and dives effect, and the place goes out of business in like 2 years?
Yeah. There you go. Guy Fieri shows up.
Because it can't keep up, basically.
But you also have to think, if you're the owner, staff, though, because if you're closing that thing down for multiple weeks as NBC is hosting their show, your staff isn't working. So that probably adds a little bit to it. You know, if I'm the owner of that business, I'm saying, you know, hey,
gotta take care,
we're going to lose some money, but we got to take care of our employees who aren't working right now.
I'm sure these are all things that are in the, you know, preliminary discussion.
That's why I'm thinking, look, for that set,
millions.
I'm saying, minimum $5 million to rent that. And that's my minimum.
Yeah. And which, in terms of this entire Olympiad, you know, project,
is nothing.
Drop in the bucket.
That's what I say. Like, working at NBC during the last Olympics and the one before that, understanding just how much money that they spend on this stuff, because NBC cares about nothing more in sports than the Olympics. That is what that network, when it comes to sports, cares about. You can be like, so Sunday Night Football, NFL, no. This is it. This is where they spend the money. This is where they send everybody. Like, you've got people from all over the country, all the NBC affiliates in the country. Fletcher Mackel is NBC local guy in New Orleans. He's in Paris right now.
Yeah, they, like, send everybody there.
They send everybody. It's this giant thing, and it's like, it's kind of like a pyramid scheme, like those that are at the top of the pyramid get to go to Paris, kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's I don't know.
Oh, like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like it's you know what I mean. It's like, if you sell this many candy bars, you get to go.
Oh, gotcha.
Like that kind of situation. But you know, it's baked in with Peyton, who's out there with his wristband. But they spend so much money. I remember the set in Japan, even the added measures of COVID, but the set that they built there, I knew somebody that flew over there and worked on it as a producer, and he was like, you wouldn't believe, he goes, we spent more in a week that we would spend in a year here. And I was like, what? He goes, oh, hundreds of thousands of dollars a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so that's where all the money goes.
Yeah,
just think of all that cash back from that Capital One Rewards card.
I mean, they spend so much money.
Yeah,
and like, it's almost an unfair. Like when you say somebody's so rich they couldn't spend their money fast enough. NBC could.
Yeah,
NBC could.
Yeah,
it's insane.
That's crazy.
So yeah, that location, that spot, I bet you $5 million might even be half of what it cost.
Yeah, that's, I was going to say $5 to $10 million just just to rent the place out, and then you have to outfit it.
Yeah, build your stage, pay all your...
That's crazy.
God, what is that even? What do you even have to do to get something like that built over there? Like, do you have to follow French building laws on top of your own?
I don't think you have to follow your own. Just whatever country you're in.
So sometimes those third world nations a little bit better to get the construction projects.
I don't.
Oh yeah, those third world nations like Paris.
No, not Paris. No, I'm talking like a Qatar. You know where they were using literal slaves.
Gotcha.
People were dying by the thousands. Like, oh, don't worry about those. It's like, yeah.
The Olympics are on the up and up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. They're definitely above FIFA, right? They wouldn't.
Everything's on the up and up here, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure nobody was killed building that birdcage in China.
I don't know. I think the IOC and FIFA are pretty much holding hands all the way.
I think it's kind of a Finkel and Einhorn situation.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we got some more Olympics that we talk about. Jade Carey. Oregon State Beaver, gold medalist yet again, huh? How about that? United States women's gymnastics, they did it again.
Pretty good work if you can find it.
Men got a bronze medal yesterday.
Hey, they got themselves on a medal.
Yeah. They're like, the 16-year drought is over. And then I was like, wait a minute. When you think of it in those terms, it's only three Olympics.
Still.
I mean... There's only three Olympics. You only get like three shots at this thing, though, you know?
But you got to get excited over Pommel Horse Guy.
Yeah.
Dude, Pommel Horse Guy, it was the way they described him is the glasses wearing Pommel Horse expert who is obsessed with Rubik's Cubes. And I was like, that's the worst way you could describe somebody.
It isn't, though, because when you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
He's sneaky jacked. Like,
he's not sneaky jacked. All of those guys are just out of this world jacked. Like, you just look at him and you're like, that don't make no sense.
No, but I mean, you look at him when he's got his jacket on. He's just chilling there with his glasses. He's the most unassuming dude you've ever seen. The jacket comes off and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, I think he's the team manager or the stat keeper.
No, 100%. You, there's no way that you think that underneath that jacket, that dude is just an absolute unit.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, like, lifting weights pays off, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
well, those calisthenics dudes, I'm still those not guys are, it.
Yeah, I mean,
they're monsters.
Like, it doesn't matter. You can be this jacked human being too. You just got to commit your entire life to it. I just feel like all of those parents that are gymnastics parents.
Oof.
Look, that's a lot of commitment that you have to go through.
It's like 15 for years.
But at the same time, they probably have this relief because I just feel like all those kids were the ones that were just climbing on everything when they were little. And they were like, God, will you get down? What are you doing up there?
They're all the ones that climbed everything.
How do you get there?
Will you quit doing the backflips off the mid-landing of the stairs, please?
Yeah. Like the Frederick Richard, the floor routine guy. I was like, this guy's fast. They were talking about him being like a social media star. So I started reading up on him. And it's like, there's an article that said that he started doing handstands in his crib when he was two. And I'm like, well, that's probably your sign that he's going to be out of that crib very quickly.
Yeah, right?
You know, like, he can do handstands.
You got to put a ceiling on your crib.
You just flip it over.
Yeah, there you go.
You make it a cage. You just go, you're not getting out tonight.
Well, then he starts lifting it up over his head, and you go, oh, he's a gymnast and a power lifter. Yeah. See, that's how we need to train our children going forward.
Oh, man.
Instead of doping them like the Chinese and the Russians, we just cage them.
Yeah, because China and Russia are the only countries doping their athletes.
They're doing it and they're the ones getting caught.
Yeah. Well, not China. Yeah. Not China. They've got some sort of secret deal with WADA, the World Anti-Doping Association. Yeah. That's a whole deal now.
Yeah, they got caught and just...
Mm-hmm. No, nothing to see here.
No. Just our entire team.
Don't worry about it. Only 12 swimmers. It's only 12? How many did you send? 14. I don't know how many they sent, but it seems like about the right number there.
Pay no mind to the fact that it's like, oh no, it got into the food for everyone.
Yeah, they're like burgers.
Yeah.
I want some of that steroid meat.
I mean, yeah.
What? All right, it is a busy day, though. We've got MLB trade deadline is today, and there's actually a lot of action. Major League Baseball trade deadline is fun. You do, because teams
It's wheeling and dealing. That extra wild card spot, man. Everybody thinks they're in it.
We talk about this. The NFL's trade deadline sucks because there's just so many moving parts. You can't just insert a guy and be like, bah, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
NBA, where every year we're like, we're going to have buyers and sellers. We never do. Major League Baseball always has buyers and sellers, and there's a ton of action, and it's actually pretty fun right now. And the Mariners, they have even been active. So.
Kind of.
Ish.
There was a thought when they traded for Justin Turner. I said to myself, do you think they thought it was Trey Turner?
Yeah. It's a Dylan Brooks versus Marshawn Brooks situation in Memphis.
That would be a very Jerry DePoto thing to do.
Oh, damn.
We got the wrong one.
Again. First it was the Seager brothers, and now it's the wrong Turner. Well, Mariners fans, you have to laugh, because if you don't, you're going to cry.
Well, they're used to that.
Wow.
That's harsh. All right. I was down at Ducks Media Day yesterday. We'll have some notes on that. It was a good little day. And there's something that is very different about this Oregon team from years past. We will discuss that. We've got some Blazers news. We have Blazers. It's July 30th? Holy crap. We have some Blazers news today. A lot of college football and NFL training camps going on. Did you guys talk about yesterday? Happy football week.
No, I didn't. I thought it was next week for some reason.
No, Thursday.
Caleb Thursday. Williams and none of the starters for the Bears are going to play, but hey.
Well, no. But happy football week. It's you back. You get to go see somebody run into each other.
Isn't it always like the week of August 9th?
No, it's Hall of Fame games always a week earlier. And then you get the first.
Maybe that's what it is. The first preseason game is always that week.
It's always the week before, and then everybody else will get started next week.
Hall of Fame game is not a real game.
It's preseason football. Yeah.
But hey.
Nobody cares about preseason anything. We're not going to learn anything. But you know what? It's comfort.
I want to watch Caleb Williams throw the ball.
You're not going to on Thursday.
Not this week. But
maybe next time. Maybe next time. So we got a lot to get to. Where we got to start this bad boy off, though, is big rumors coming out about the Portland Trailblazers, the hometown team. Huh. Ant and Grant gone? Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
A little panic in the streets for a lot of Blazer fans out there today. Bleacher Report push notifications coming through. Twitter feed filling up with Jeremy Grant and Anfernee Simons expected to be dealt by the Portland Trailblazers before training camp. That's big news, man. Two best players on the Portland Trailblazers are on the block and expected to be traded prior to the start of training camp. That was a whole thing. And I was a little bit surprised to see Anfernee Simons in the trade before training camp news today. But Let's dive into that a little bit deeper, because what all of this is coming from, the aggregators went into the depths of YouTube. And this is a great part. Our show on YouTube, youtube.com/1080amthefan. Let's party. Let's ride. But when you go on YouTube and you start sifting through everything, you find little tidbits like this. Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian went on with Stiles and Watkins on Sactown Sports down in Sacramento. And this is the clip which got the aggregators going.
I would be surprised if Jeremy or Anthony Simons, that one of the two is not moved. I was told that that's definitely the goal, that one of the two would probably be gone before training camp. Both being gone, that might be different. They obviously have time. Like, you know, they can wait to the trade deadline and see if someone else will offer more or what have you. So I think eventually both, like, to me, what they're doing right now, making it clear that Scoot Henderson and Shade Sharp are the centerpieces of the rebuild. And now, of course, they love Klingon. That means you've got to move Anthony, especially because you've committed to two guards. And Anthony is better than both of them right now, right? So you have to start Anthony or it's going to look silly. If they don't start Anthony, he's going to probably demand a trade. So he's got to go at some point soon. And then Grant, you can probably wait a little while longer because he's clearly one of your he's your best forward by far. So you can start him and justify that, and it's not a big deal. But as cool a guy as Grant is, Grant doesn't want to waste his 30s, what years he has left, on a team that's actively tanking again and might even tank again the next year. He wants to go somewhere where he can win. So both of them will be – I predict both of them will be gone by next summer. It just depends on when it happens.
Well, that isn't nearly as salacious as the headlines would indicate. But he did say he has been told that the goal is to move both Ant and Grant.
I've directly contrary to that have been told that is entirely not the case.
Yep.
Anthony Simons is not something they are actively shopping. The only way Anthony Simons is going to get moved at this point will be as if he decides he wants to be moved. The team is actively not trying to trade him. As it pertains to Jeremy Grant, he is a guy who is open to a move if it makes sense. And it's the same side for the Trailblazers. There's not a push to move either of them. Could that change where Jeremy decides that yes, he does want to go? Sure. Could Ant decide, yeah, I want to go? There was a line in there about not starting Anthony Simons. Anthony Simons is going to start on this team. Anthony Simons is starting on this team. Like that's, you can say that they've made a decision to go with Scoot and Shade, and I don't think they've made that decision yet. Anthony Simons is starting on this team. Chauncey Billups will not start Anthony Simons. Like, no. I'd be willing to wager a significant amount of money that is the case.
Hold on, let's just look at, just take a step back and look at a starting lineup that would include Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Denny Advia, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Right? If you take Anthony Simons out of that, the creation for all of the other guys on the floor
is significantly limited.
Disappears. And Scoot cannot replicate that.
He's not at that level yet. If he takes this massive leap and he shows in camp that it's going to be close, you can try to somehow squeeze Ant and Scoot on the floor together and push Shaedon out, which I don't think is a good idea because I don't think Scoot and Ant play together at all that well.
No.
We saw it last year, not even just with the limitations, just stylistically. Scoot wants to have the ball in his hands, and when Ant does have the ball in his hands and Scoot is off ball, you're playing 5-on-4 because of how defenses treat him.
Unless he comes back with an incredible 3-point shot.
But even then, it's going to take 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. It might take a whole season for teams to be like, man, we don't care if you shoot. You're taking like 3 threes a game and you're shooting 34%. Like, go ahead. We're more worried about the guy that shoots 38% from 3 on 10 or 11 threes a game and loading up to take him away as opposed to you. Like, that's the math problem.
Yeah. I think that on the surface of what Fentress said down in Sacramento, it is kind of what we all already know, though, is that eventually there will come a time where Jeremy Grant and Anthony Simons will no longer be on the Portland Trailblazers because they will pivot to their youth movement timelines. We know this. We know that they've been shopping Jeremy Grant this offseason with the Lakers conversations that have been very public, and how close that came to Jeremy Grant becoming a Laker, right? Like, the framework was actually there, and then the Lakers got cold feet. And Rui Hachimura, if he came back in as part of that deal, he looked pretty damn good against France. Two flagrant fouls got run.
Oops.
But,
They're not. There's not like this rush to move either of them, and like in him saying that, you know, that I could. There's a franchise goal to have them move before the start of the season, but also say that he thinks they'll both be moved by next summer. It's like there's a strong contrast between the two of those.
Yeah, there's about 10 months in between.
Yeah,
there.
Like, do I believe that Ant and Jeremy will both be here next summer? No, I don't. Like, I've said since they drafted Scoot, you have until this coming summer to figure it out.
Yeah.
By the end of 2 years with Scoot, you have to know, is Scoot going to be your guy or is Ant going to be your guy at that one spot? And the reason I left it open-ended is because you never know with rookies. You just don't. Like, is Scoot ever going to be as good as Anfernee Simons? If the answer is no, then why would you move on from Anfernee Simons?
Because you're not trying to win?
I guess. But, I mean, if that's your argument, it's like, okay.
But then we have this conversation that we've had several times before, and we've played the audio. Was it? No, it wasn't Gilbert Arenas. Who was it that we played the audio of them saying veterans are important on the roster because of what development of young guys?
Was it Chauncey?
It was Chauncey. Who is he? Oh, yeah, it was Rasheed. Chauncey on Rasheed with Rasheed Wallace. Yeah.
Trill.
Yeah.
That's who it was. True.
So they were talking about importance of having a veterans on the roster who can bring young guys along. If you trade those two guys, who are then your veterans on? Is it DeAndre Ayton then you're going to be leaning on?
No.
One of those guys, if not both of those guys, will be on this roster till the trade deadline or throughout the entirety of the season. Because of that, bringing young guys along, developing them, helping them grow. And look, Anfernee Simons was just on Chris Haynes' podcast.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that mentorship that he got from Damian Lillard and what that meant to him in his development as a player. Those are guys you want to keep around.
And his name being Ant before Ant Edwards. Everybody calm down about that. It's ridiculous. I don't understand. We're getting worked up.
Well, I know. But when the more popular guy comes through.
5 years later.
Yeah. But, I mean, it still is like Ant Edwards does carry more weight nationally.
Sure.
So you get buried down. But it's not like he tried to come and swipe the Ant moniker from Ant Edwards.
Which somebody actually accused him of doing earlier. And
no.
Anthony went full KD.
Yeah.
It was great.
There you go.
I was like, oh, good.
Maybe we can just call Ant.
Get a little irritated.
Maybe we could call Anfernee Simons the Slim Reaper then. Because
hey,
he didn't want that.
He didn't want it. Yeah.
KD didn't want that. We'll just call Anfernee Simons the Slim Reaper.
He can make his name off that name.
There you go. There's a lot of money to be made. That's a kick-ass name.
It is. God, I still can't believe he didn't want that.
Or
Durant.
Now that we know Kevin Durant more, makes sense.
Kevin Durant getting spicy on Twitter while he's in Paris for the Olympics for the last 2 days has been... He's a generational tweeter. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. I love him for it. He just he abandoned the burners and he just embraced his inner villain, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But as it pertains to Ant and Jeremy, I don't think either of them are in any hurry to be moved. If the price is right, which I still think it's very much sitting at two firsts for Jeremy, then if the Lakers meet that, then he'll be in LA.
Yeah. Which is totally fine.
But there's, a month and a half between now and when guys are really going to start coming in for camp?
Yeah.
So it could happen, but I tend to lean more towards the trade deadline for Jeremy, and then they'll revisit this with Anton next summer.
What does this look like, though, for the Portland Trail Blazers if, you know, they're open to having these conversations with any and everybody? We do know that, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, every organization does. Like, that's a normal thing, but...
Hell, Bill Belichick took a call from the San Francisco 49ers about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like he said, no, do you want Jimmy G?
And that's how
you have those conversations about, all right, well, what are you willing to offer me?
Yeah. So the other part of this is that, you know, this could just be Jeremy or Ant's camp putting something out there to try to flush out value for guys to see where things sit.
Yeah. Where would either one of them want to go? Because there's other NBA news, too.
Mm.
Oh, boy. I wanted to talk to you about this as I was praying to the porcelain gods. When I saw it come over the Twitter feed, the Chicago Bulls, and what they've become resigned to. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
We have to get to that. Plus, all right. So,
tough pill to swallow.
Say Fentress is correct. Where do we see these guys' preferred landing spots that have something to give back? We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. We're talking Portland Trailblazers and the aggregators picking up a comment from Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian, Anthony Simons and Jeremy Grant. Could be dealt, both of them, potentially by the start of training camp, and we ran through that pretty quickly. That is not something that is imminent at all. Maybe no. Jeremy Grant, but...
I mean, even then, it sounds like things have cooled down there, although Zach Lowe on his podcast, The Low Post, on Friday said, should I buy my Jeremy Grant Lakers jersey?
Oh.
So I kind of chuckled at that. I'm like, it's made its way out there now. Yeah. Okay. So,
this isn't the players posturing for news to get out either.
No, it doesn't sound like this is either agency. I've done my, I should say, due diligence of, hey, is you know, checking in with agencies like, hey, are you guys trying to source some things or flush some things out? And it doesn't sound like that's the case. So, everything's like I've said before on the podcast, everybody's stone cold chilling right now as far as the transactional world.
All right, basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator now to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, so Lakers obviously very interested in Jeremy Grant, and that is no surprise to anybody.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% out there.
And they need a player of his style and caliber. They don't have a lot to offer, but 2029 and 2031 first round picks.
And necessary would be salary. Okay. Yeah, I think that Portland would be interested in that.
Right.
Make the protections very light, as in like top one at most.
And then you have Anthony Simons. Like, look, we can start having these conversations because they're out there now, like, although very vague. Which teams would fit Anthony Simons? And I think the one that has kind of popped out to everybody in these rumblings started at last trade deadline was the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, the Magic still have a gaping hole when it comes to shooting. They just don't have a lot of it. Like, getting Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was helpful, but he's a catch-and-shoot guy. He's not an off-the-bounce shooter. Paolo's not a shooter. Franz, his three-point shot completely disappeared. It was just MIA. Entirely. Wendell Carter Jr. is a decent pick and pop big. I think he shot 35% last year, if I remember right, from three. So he's not like he's out there just bombing away. This isn't Chet Holmgren spacing the floor kind of a deal.
Yeah. The question would be, would the size that Orlando has to offer still be as attractive to the Portland Trailblazers in these discussions, as long as you still have Jeremy Grant on your roster, because the additions this offseason have been Denny Avdia, who is... long. I mean, he's not 6'11", but he's 6'9". He's long and can play both the swing forward positions. And then Donovan Clingan, 7'2" center, and they've added size down there. Would that deter maybe Portland from trading for another longer player?
No, I think that that's a bigger, longer, stronger. That's kind of like the MO of the Portland Trailblazers front office. I mean, you draft Shaedon Sharpe, you trade for Denny Avdia, you trade for Tumani Kamara, everybody they've tried to get, with the exception of Scoot Henderson, in which I think if you put a gun to their head, they probably would have been like Brandon Miller, like, just because he's 6'9". Stylistically, everything they've wanted to do is be bigger, longer, stronger, more athletic, and I don't think that's going to change.
And I think that also leads us to the order of operations for the Blazers and how they would go about this would be move Jeremy first, then move Ant second.
I think that's probably how they would, if they could have it anyway, they would probably like to do it.
And that also fixes that any concern that you would have of having a logjam.
Well, here's the other thing. There's going to be a logjam regardless if you think about this. Right now, the roster's full. they can't do like a 3-for-1 swap without having to cut guys or trade guys somewhere else or eat money. And it's like they're in, like, if you do, let's just say they do the transaction that's been tossed around, which is Jeremy Grant to the Lakers for Rui, Gabe Vincent, 2 firsts. We're doing 2-for-1. So that means somebody needs to get swapped, or you need to find another home for Gabe Vincent. Like, that, and he's $11 million worth of kind of dead money.
That'd be hard to trade.
Yeah. It's like, hey, does anybody else out there want $11 million of dead money because Gabe Vincent didn't play basketball last year?
I mean, well, that's what the Chicago Bulls were trying to do with Zach LaVine.
Buddy,
and they this is the one I wanted to talk to you about because goodness. I saw this late last week.
Casey Johnson was ruthless.
And they wanted to, it's no secret, they've been wanting to get off of the LaVine deal
for more than a year, like 14 months.
Yeah. When the ink dried, they were like, this was a bad idea.
And here's the crazy thing, and I always have to throw this out there because I have to throw shade at the Bulls because I cannot believe they're this stupid. They had the opportunity to
trade. I'd like it to be known right now, Danny said shade at the Bulls.
Yes.
Okay. AM radio, the processing, you want to throw shade at the Bulls.
Shade.
There you go.
Enunciate. Very cool. Very, very much.
We'll go to the tape.
There you go. Let's go to the tape. But they had the opportunity to trade Zach LaVine for Jaden Ivey to start this season, and they said no. They said no.
All right.
I've got that from very, 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 very plugged in reputable sources, and they said no. So it's become unquestionably funny that it went from that, which, like, oh, Jaden Ivey, he's like, it's like, yeah, he was a lottery pick a year ago.
Top five.
Yeah, like, can we chill on that? Yeah, yeah, he was five. Fifth. I can remember the Pistons fifth over and over again. But now they, even if they include a first-round pick with him, they can't move off of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's, and this is that new CBA. It's not just the second apron, but it's teams going, we're no longer going to pay a premium for players that aren't maxes. Like, it's just not, it's so prohibitive on the freight that it's just, the problem here is the Bulls, much like the Nets were in this position last year where they wanted to suck, but they didn't control their own future.
Yeah.
Well, the Bulls have Zach LaVine and Nick Vucevic. Like, it's a high enough threshold to be like, we can't really suck. The Trailblazers can because they have all of these young guys and people can magically get hurt.
Magic.
But if the Bulls are trying to rehab Zach LaVine and get his trade stock up, what does he have to do? Play.
Play basketball.
No, they can still suck. No, but it's harder to suck in the East because there's so much more suck in the East. In the West, everybody's better than Portland. So like it's really not hard. Like, they've been picked to finish last in the conference, and they rightfully should right now. So the Bulls are in this weird position where they need to suck, but their owner won't truly let them, but he also won't let them get good.
Which is really interesting because he is allowing the White Sox just to suck.
Which is weird. Like, Jerry Reinsdorf very much feels like he's trying to let the White Sox get moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, it's like, why would you want to move out of the Chicago market even though the Cubs dominate it? It's still the Chicago market. Like, is the Nashville market going to be that good to you? Okay, I guess. But go with God. But as far as the Bulls, like, it's just like, it's kind of like Nixian for the past 20 years, prior to the past like 2 years, where it kind of feels like James Dolan. It's just, you're just rudderless. It doesn't make any sense. There's no real direction. They're not stripping and actually all the way down. They're not going all the way in. It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's a nasty place
to be. No man's land.
Yeah, no. It that is a true hellscape for development one way or the other.
Kind of sounds familiar. Mm. Portland's been there before.
They were never in that. Like, the Blazers were the top of the trash heap.
Yeah, right,
the Bulls are the trash heap. That's where they are. It's just, it's bad, man.
All right. Okay, so that's some Blazer talk. There's actually Blazer news here. July 30th, 2024. We've got Blazer. We had a little bit of Blazer news today that we needed to parse through. All right. Hey, I got more NBA, but this pertains to the NFL as well. We could have potentially one of the best sports days next on The Fan. All right. We could have. Could this be one of the best sports days? February 6th, 2026. Could be a great sports day for us. Super Bowl will be that day, in Santa Clara, California. But they may bump it back if they add that 18th week in there. I could see that happen.
Yeah.
But as right now, it's supposed to be, or February 8th, 2026, Super Bowl will be in Santa Clara, and you will have the Super Bowl on NBC that year.
Ooh.
Okay?
Okay.
Think of this.
Okay.
NBC just paid a butt ton of money for the NBA broadcast rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's being floated that we could have a Super Bowl followed up by a marquee matchup in the NBA.
Oh, God.
Immediately following the Super Bowl coverage. So they do the trophy presentation, they do all that.
Ooh.
And then you say you roll into, I don't know, just for
finals rematch.
If we're talking like what it would be,
Celtics
an intriguing matchup this upcoming year. Say you have Celtics Mavs, or you have Knicks Lakers, or you have something that somebody would want to see on both coasts, and you just have a marquee standalone NBA game immediately following the Super Bowl on NBC.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm 100% in.
I mean, that's way better than what you get from...
It's usually like news.
Well, ABC will go to Jimmy Kimmel Live Bowl edition,
That's all pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
It's amazing how quickly CBS will jump from like the Super Bowl to NCIS.
Or
and you're
60
like,
minutes.
Whoa! Somebody just got shot in the face! You know?
Hey, the olds want their 60... Or their NCIS. We gotta go.
Yeah. We gotta get this thing moving here. But we could have, if NBC does have those rights, you could be seeing a Sunday night game right after the Super Bowl. And look, NBC has always been kind of on the forefront of, we want to put our best programming on. Remember, it was one of the first episodes of The Office that I really watched. I wasn't too into it. When they had... they had the one where Dwight did the fire safety at the beginning, and it was the Michael got roasted. Stanley has a heart attack, and Michael has like a roast to raise funds.
You're talking like the blank.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. But that was NBC put that right after the Super Bowl. Like Super Bowl ended, and then you have Dwight Schrute with a blowtorch on a doorknob, trying to heat up the doorknob to warm people. And that was like one of the first Office episodes where like, okay, I've dabbled, but now I'm in.
Now you're in
on this. Yeah. Like they have done a really good job of, if we've got a show, and even if it's not on the day.
Yeah.
That we normally air it, right? Because I think The Office was on Thursdays. But they said, we will put whatever we want to push out there and make more popular right after our Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. You're taking the largest audience in the country as a handoff.
Yeah.
So whatever you want to put there, even if there's a 50% drop-off.
Yep.
It does not matter that it's going to score a monster rating and people are going to see it.
And everybody, it does not. The ratings do carry over into that post coverage. Now
people leave their TVs on.
And people will be, you know, going from their Super Bowl party to home or whatever. But that won't matter. Like what NBC wants is the people that are there and sitting at home and watching, or when you get home, they want to have programming on that will be that carryover. And it's not a window that Super Bowl starts at 3. It'll get over at like 7:30.
That's when the
doubleheader starts at 7:45 on Thursday night anyways, right? So you can have, like, it makes sense, too. You're not starting way too late. Because I think it was part of the NBC package was that they were going to have a game start 8 p.m. in that one where they'll have
a marquee game, and then
they'll put one on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
8 p.m. Pacific start, 11 p.m. Eastern was... One of the start times, so that actually fits the window that NBC would be putting games out anyways for. I'd be down for that. I think that would be fun. And look, it's the unofficial like kickoff to the NBA season for a lot of folks anyways. As they say, we start caring about, you know, the NBA after football season's over, right around the All-Star break. It fits right in that window of when you can start peeling more people off and say, hey, we had our Christmas game now.
Yeah.
We have NBA.
NFL's over.
Right,
come on
after
in.
The Super Bowl. Yeah. Boom.
And honestly, as much as the NBA doesn't like it when the NFL, you know, poo-poos on them, this is a little bit of reciprocation where the broadcast partner is going to actually do you a favor.
Yeah, because the NFL is making no bones about it. We're coming after Christmas Day.
Yes, we're coming after any of the days that you like.
Yeah. So I think that would be... That'd be an interesting move by NBC. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I want to see it. We'd only have to wait. It would be next year's Super Bowl would be one. It would be the first one where NBC could kind of also kick off, hey, by the way, we're carrying the NBA now, and it's their first year of their rights with the NBA. They host the Super Bowl on their network. Boom, roll it all out there then.
Yeah.
Round ball rock right after the Super Bowl.
Are you kidding me? The Super Bowl gets over and then you get da 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 da. Yeah, no, sign me up. I would go from, you know, food coma from wings and nachos to just put it in my veins.
Heck yeah, brother. All right.
That Monday, the next day, we could talk basketball too.
Oh, that's cute.
I need to make this about me.
Yeah, that's adorable that you got that you think that there. So yeah, that was a little. I thought that was an interesting little nugget that came across the timeline today. Is NBC could be giving us NBA immediately following the Super Bowl after the 2025-2026 NFL season wraps up. All right. Hour number two, we got, I was down at Ducks Media Day. We'll dive into that. There is something far different that Oregon is talking about this year as opposed to years past. We have some NFL, and it's the Major League Baseball trade deadline today. 3 o'clock, teams are making moves, and the Seattle Mariners have been very active. They're not resting on their laurels. They have a great pitching staff, and they don't want to waste it. But we start hour number two with a little bit of college football next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokesperson, up it comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.